Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, you could calm down, you could relax, because I have returned. I am the Hot Rod. Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. Like I said before, I am your host with the most, the King of King himself. God bless me indeed. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line I have...
Sean Black in the building, once again. Are you finished genuflecting toward yourself?
Listen, everybody know everything about me is always about me. Everybody know that already, because you know someone got to pat myself on the back, and I know it's not going to be you. So, well, ladies and gentlemen,
yeah,
you know the number. Oh my God, excuse me.
Sorry to keep you awake.
Yeah, you know. I had a long snow day today, you know.
I understand.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know the number to call is 347-989-8402. Sean Black and the rest of the world, are you ready to be blessed by me? I mean, excuse me. Are you ready to piss some people off?
Well, we better do something to make sure that we keep you in check. So, yeah, let's people off.
Oh, well, keeping me in check. Okay,
yes.
For our listeners around the world and around the country, over this past weekend, it was a quote-unquote massive snowstorm, a blizzard, a snow festival, whatever you want to call it. And from time to time when we have forecasts of snow, our city officials and also most likely the mayor will make the call of closing the public schools or not. So on Friday night into Saturday morning, we got some snow that our weather people told us about the snow, but not like to a great amount that we got that night. Compared to last night, they were saying 5 to 8 inches of snow. I'm sure everybody got different numbers, but that was like the general forecast of 5 to 8 inches. Then around 5 o'clock last night, I'm sure the teachers were so happy. We got the message that the school is closed. Then it snowed overnight. And if you went outside this morning, ladies and gentlemen, especially to my New Yorkers, almost everybody's mouth dropped. Like, where's the snow? For most parts of New York City, ladies and gentlemen, was maybe 3 inches of snow. Maybe. And the outrage about this is everybody was upset because school got canceled. As most parents, you have to scramble, try to find, care for your kids. Most people have to stay home from work, use up a day, the sick days. So, of course, social media went on an uproar and blasted man and his decision. Sean, I know you don't have any kids. You have, you have nieces and nephews and all this other stuff. Do you think the city officials / the mayor made the right call of canceling school 2 hours in advance? And why do you think so?
Well, of course, he made, the mayor de Blasio of New York City did the right thing for a change. And here's the reason why I say that. We have had many mayors over the years that have lost elections based on how they handle weather, especially snow in the winter. We know here in the New York City area back in November, there was a snowstorm that hit that was supposedly called, somebody was going to get a trace of snow, maybe an inch. It turned into 6.5 inches. The city was not ready for it, and it literally crippled the city for a day. The last thing anybody wants, especially a mayor who potentially may want to run for president down the road, wants to be looked at in the eyes of a lot of people. This is what a lot of people arguing about, wants that to happen. So we know the complaint is, okay, if we're going to get snow, we got hit with basically three snowstorms in a three-day radius. Friday, there was a snowstorm into Saturday. Saturday was a small clipper. All of Sunday was good. That first snowstorm, I think, like you said, we got, 3 inches? And then Sunday night going into Monday morning was, in at least in the New York City area, got hit with, I believe, another 3 inches. Where some parts of New Jersey and some other parts got 8, 9, 12 inches, et cetera. I would rather the mayor err on the side of caution. And it's not as if it was a last-second decision. This was going the day before the storm hit. Monday, we're going to be closing schools. And the reason why that's so significant is as there are almost never any school days in the New York City area, especially by the mayor, because they usually have to pay for that. They have to pull back on certain subsidies at certain programs, et cetera. That's money involved, and I think there's an allocation of certain amount of days that they can use. It just doesn't happen unless we get a blizzard.
Well, honestly, your point of reason, and I was reading the comments of a lot of people on social media, and I see both sides of was it a bad call, good call. I think overall they should handle this a little bit differently. But
okay.
I'm saying you want to take precaution, but, you know, we're in sensitive time now because we're a bunch of wussies. We can't handle snow like we used to anymore. And you're right. There have been times where city officials have made bad calls or have made last-minute decisions. But I'm sorry. 5 to 8 inches of snow is nothing in New York City.
Oh, we
really
know that.
Nothing. And, you know, and that what got me like, wait a minute, it's 5 to 8 inches of snow, and we go through a panic attack. Ladies and gentlemen, the problem I think I see overall, we go brainwashed by the media and by society. If they had said 10 to 12 inches, okay, play a precaution, you never know. But trust me, in New York, 5 to 8, we swim through that in our shorts like it's nothing. The city will still keep running no matter what. And I believe they should do a 2-hour delay. Just in case, if anything. But they can't, or I'm not saying you don't want to make a last minute decision. Over there, if they had made that announcement, ladies and gentlemen, we will monitor the storm, but keep in mind we may shut down the school. We'll give the parents extra time to, you know, look for a backup just in case. But I'm being honest with you, Sean Black. It's hard to find child care. And
well, that's understandable.
Thing
is, a lot of people said it was a last second of the last second. This was done the day before. So it's not as if it happened, like, you know, the night the storm hit. Schools,
no.
they made the decision about the schools, what was it, Sunday afternoon.
Sunday at 5 o'clock. That's when we got the message.
Okay.
So that's what I'm saying. At 5 o'clock, make an announcement, ladies and gentlemen, just be aware we might shut down schools. Look for backup emergency. At least plan ahead. Because you don't want to make the call, shut down schools right away.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like,
because it almost never happens.
It almost never happens. Let's just be precautious. As for now, be prepared. We might shut down a school. Give them a 24-hour notice. You never know. Understand that, especially with this weather. We don't know what's going on.
And the other thing that people don't realize that others were complaining about was the fact that they were saying, well, if you kind of figured out that we weren't going to get as much snow, why not cancel it? The mayor can't just up and cancel a closed school order for a snow day because all of the plans are done in conjunction with sanitation, where they have to coordinate with all of the other businesses and all of the other school clothing, the city with parking and all. So all of that stuff has to be coordinated. So once that decision is made, there's no kill switch for that decision. So
I agree 100% on that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think my argument overall is we keep jumping to conclusions. I'm not talking about this one incident. I'm not talking about in general, you know. But last night in the supermarket, I just went to go get a few things. And every time, ladies and gentlemen, New York area, we hear a snowstorm. For some reason, everybody went to the supermarket to buy bread, milk, and eggs. Like,
yeah.
Everybody's making
friends.
Well,
you can't live without eggs. You, Lord knows,
exactly.
If I can't have an omelet during a snowstorm.
It's amazing. I'm like, I just went to go get a few things. That's, you know, but I was planning to go to the supermarket anyway. But the lines are long buying stuff. Like, it's tomorrow, like, it's the end of the world. Once again, it was just a simple snow. It wasn't a blizzard. Not like you would be trapped for days inside your home. But
exactly.
People were shopping like it was the end of the world. And I think this is my argument overall, how easily brainwashed we are by simple information. You know? And it's like, damn if we do, damn if we don't, overall. And talk about misinformation, we have K-Dog in the house, ladies and gentlemen.
What's up, everybody? What's up, fellas?
Hey, what's going on?
Well, hey, yeah, just here, I'm listening to the show. Look, the reason why Mayor de Blasio called for the schools to be closed, because if anyone could remember, in the month of November, we did have a snowstorm, and it did kind of put a damper, especially on the railways, concerning those who take the Long Island Railroad and also those who are traveling by Penn Station. So he took a lot of heat because he didn't, you know, call for an emergency, you know, for, you know, to watch over these things. So instead of trying to hear people's mouths, Mayor de Blasio just acted quickly, like, you know what, let me just do this before, you know, people are going to start talking, people are going to start complaining and getting on me for not doing what I was supposed to do. So let me just shut down the schools. We better be thankful that, you know, he didn't shut down the subways also, you know.
Oh, no, that would take a lot. That would take a lot to shut down. It would take 20
exactly.
inches of snow to shut down the subway system.
Which he did one time a couple of years ago when we had a very bad snowstorm. He just shut down the subways. I remember that.
Yeah, but once again, that's on projection forecast. If you expect a 15, 20 inches of snowstorm, even though it may not happen or not, you have to take precaution. That's more understandable. But last night, they were talking about, K-Dog, 5 to 8 inches of snow. I'm sorry, that is nothing in New York.
No, and it was insane. No, I agree with you, Hot Rod. I agree with you 100%. I mean, but, you know, at the same time, he just wanted to take precautions. Like, you know what, let me just do this because just in case if the snow is hard, that people are going to, so that way nobody could complain and say, oh, he didn't do what he was supposed to be doing. You understand? That's the whole thing about it.
Well, I think we all know that the mayor's job is going to be double guessed, second guessed, and so many different decisions are going to be looked at and scrutinized. We all know that. So it's more or less it's something that he's not going to be able to win. As I said earlier, some people suggested, well, maybe it was a case of having extra snow days that they didn't allocate, which I've never heard of before.
Yeah, all of that.
I think that's BS.
Yeah, other people say basically saying, well, he did this to give brownie points in the eyes of the nation, because if he's thinking about running for president, maybe they're looking at the fact that, well, look at what he's done for New York City, even though it's a local area. Well, what, you know, there's a range of arguments that I've heard different people say, and a lot of them, some of them make you think, others are just, you know, based on stupidity. So,
well,
I don't know.
Talk about announcements. This is K-Dog. This is a question for K-Dog. There's been more people added to the list of Democrats running for president in 2020. And I remember last year or a couple of years ago, Sean had mentioned many times one of the reasons why the Democrats and Hillary Clinton lost against Trump. Basically, the Democrats had it in their hand, but as always, they shot themselves in the foot. And they lost the election by a shocker.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was more. I can't go down the list of names, but I know there's a gay guy, a couple of black people, a black woman, another guy. I like it. Bernie Sanders, who I met Friday. And I'm like, I feel like slapping. I feel like telling Bernie Sanders, stop it. You had your chance. Sit your ass down and just enjoy yourself. Do you think the Democrats, once again, are overdoing it, or they're missing the message of how to beat Trump in 2020?
You know, here's what I got to say about this, and I'm going to be 100%. The Democrats are trying to figure out a strategy, which they're not announcing on how they're planning to beat Trump. You see, it's like this. It's like if you're going into a battle, you're not going to let the enemy know what your strategy is to defeat that enemy. You understand what I'm saying? So what the Democrats are just hiding. They're basically just hiding, you know, whatever it is that they're doing, because they're just keeping silent. But I'm sure that they'll come up with a plan. They're going to have to come up with something strong. They're going to have to convince the people to earn their votes. As for Bernie Sanders, listen, dude, you had your time already. Sorry, but yeah, it's over. You understand what I'm saying? But yeah, we'll just have to wait and see.
So right now, if you had to pick, who you think would be a decent front runner for the Democratic Party to go against Trump?
You know what? I have to hear from all the candidates, because I'm not gonna say who I think should win or anything. It's just that I'm just going to have to sit back and wait and see, because I'm sure there's going to be more candidates coming in the near future. There's going to be a whole lot more candidates. We haven't seen the end of it yet.
Okay.
Any day now, somebody else could announce something.
From everything that I've seen right now, I have to hear more as far as what the platform is going to be. What we're noticing now are a lot of the Democrats that are coming out are far more progressive and left-leaning as far as some of the things that they want to do. A lot of them are starting to adopt some of the, and then the ironic part is what we talked about with Bernie Sanders. A lot of the talking points that Bernie Sanders brought up when he ran in 2016, the Democratic Party of these candidates that are coming in now are actually adopting it into their message that is becoming a speaking point almost by default now. A lot of them are talking about health care for all, Medicare for all. That's what a part of that new Green Deal is that you hear. And it's kind of hard to pick one person coming out right now as far as the Democrats, because there's so many of them. I think there's like 20 candidates right now already
far. Yeah.
They're going to have to whittle it down. The one that just announced over the last couple of days is a former governor of Washington State. His name is Jay Inslee. And he has been a very vocal Trump opposer. So I think that we're trying to figure out now, out of the 20 or 21 or whoever else is coming out, are you going to run just to keep Trump out of the White House? Are you running because you want to get him impeached? Or are you running because you have a vision for the country that you think is contrary to what's been going on in the last 2 years and 2 months? And is it going to help out the country in the long run? And those are the things that I want to see from many others coming out right now.
But I think from what you guys tell me, I understand, but I think overall the Democrats are shooting themselves in the foot again. Well, does it sound like a divide and conquer type situation? Well, like you just mentioned, you have over 20 people. That means you have 20. The more you have running, the less togetherness and teamwork that you have. So you got some people for Harris, some people for Sanders, some people for Booker, some people for this guy, some people for that guy. While you have Trump have his followers already. He has his people already. And look at us all divided up. And it's like you guys want to go after Trump so badly. Instead of picking, a couple of years ago they focused on Hillary Clinton. Okay. Right. They tried their best, it didn't work out. Work on two or three people who think are strong enough to do it. Elizabeth Warren could be your leader, you know. But she's been quiet lately. It's like no one, I hear all this talk, but no action is happening. While Trump was at CPAC over the weekend, hugging the American flag, preaching like his nonsense like he always do, and the people are buying through that. You know, he's showing some type of, I know you're not going to agree with this, Sean, some type of leadership he's showing right now, you know, and he's building his party strong more and more. I never see a president have tweet and go to rallies so much and actually doing his job, you know.
But you know
and
something?
Definitely,
that's not leadership. He is, he is doing the necessary plunge into a swimming pool full of his own followers. It's like when you used to see back in the 90s, you used to see people say, well, we're going to go to the mosh pit, and what they do is they just beat each other up, and then they jump off of a table into a sea of hands, and then they just body surf the person to the next area. That's basically what Trump is doing. Every time something happens negatively with Trump, he goes on a rally somewhere in the other side of the country, and then he talks to who? His base. The base that is within his own bubble that never expands, that never grows, knowing that he can talk to those people, rally them, get them riled up about something, and it works. And remember, it's all about optics. He went on that CPAC, that rally, and did you see for 2 hours and change, all he did was rail. He didn't talk about, you know, the conservative mindset. He didn't talk about what we need to do to forward our country or what kinds of things we can do to help out the Republican Party toward the future going towards 20. He used it as a campaign stop to rile up everybody and to jump all over his opponents and all of the things that have ticked him off.
True, but like Cato said, he's a meanie hole and it works. It works for him.
Yeah.
I'm not saying
and
it.
And
it works for him.
Towards his base. That's what he was aiming at.
But his base, I think what I'm aiming at, that his base is strong compared to the Democratic base. And like, well, they followed 20 people here, 30 people there, 100 people everywhere. Like, at least Trump, despite how much you can't stand him, have a very strong base. You know, these are the MAGA followers. So you have to give him credit for that. He pumped them up, and you know, his message of hate or whatever you want to call it, it seems like it's growing more and more and more. And these Democrats don't get their act together, they're going to give Trump 4 more years again. Not the Republicans, but the Democrats will give Trump 4 more years. And can you imagine, Sean Black, K-Dog, of us on this show talking about Trump for 4 more years?
Good grief. Oh, man.
I'm sure there are a lot of television shows and news shows and talk shows on radio and television that would probably love to have that happen, because
of
their
course.
Ratings will probably either go through the roof because they have a talking point to talk about how much we hate this guy or how much we love this guy, and then you have to hear for the next 4 years, okay, he's a two-term president, now he's a sitting duck, what's he going to do? And then the entire world is going to be flipped upside down. But you know what?
Oh, yeah.
Looking right now at what's going on with the investigations that's going on, what went on in Vietnam for the Kim Jong-un summit that didn't get any results, all of those things that have happened, all of the stuff with Michael Cohen, all of the things that we know has been going on while he's on the other side of the world, Trump knows that when his ratings go down the toilet, when they continue to tank, and everything else seems to happen, he goes right into the arms of his base, and they open their arms, and he jumps into their arms, and they hold him and hug him and kiss him, and they put him in the bed, tuck him good night. And that's all he seems to do when these kinds of things happen. And you know what? It makes him, it re-energizes him. It, like you said, Hot Rod, it re-energizes his base, but like we said before, the base hasn't grown. And just like what happened with the Democrats, hear me out. What has happened with the Democrats during the 2016 election, where everybody looked at the Democrats and they took advantage of the Republicans took advantage of the fact that the Democrats did not campaign in spots that they were supposed to because they
exactly they took the
they
lead.
Had it. The same thing could possibly happen to the Republican Party. In this sense,
but also Sean Black.
Their base has not grown past that bubble, so to speak. But that bubble was enough to win for Trump because the Democratic Party did not vote in the right area that they needed to vote for. That's the
And of course, there was something else too. Remember, in 2016, there was a very low percentage of people who voted because a lot of people were fed up by the way the campaign was being run on both sides. And again, and I echo what Sean was saying about the Democrats not campaigning in certain states. And that's what gave Trump the advantage to win. Because when they showed the reports, and I could tell you, 46% of Americans did not vote in the election of 2016. 46%
of them. Do you think in 2020 it would be more or less, or depending on the quote-unquote candidates running?
Well, it all depends. Like I said, the candidate, you know, if the candidates should show strength or should show the agenda, come up with a challenging agenda, and also just to reach the people and to campaign hard. I'm sure that they've learned the mistakes that they made in 2016.
The Democrats? No. If the Democrats have learned their mistakes, they would not be going through this charades right now. And that's my argument overall. If they have learned a mistake, they will come up with a better plan. They had, instead of chasing after Trump, you know, with all the stupid investigations, I'm sorry, Sean, that's not going anywhere, really. Even though you think they are, they should have been forming up their group and focus on this country. And I think that's our problem overall. We are not focusing on this country. We're focusing on, he did it. No, he did it. No, he did it. No, she did it. We keep pointing fingers at each other.
Now there's a time for campaigning. It shouldn't be about pointing fingers.
But everybody campaigns, but nobody doing anything. Well, we're getting screwed in our taxes. That's the thing I don't get.
Well, it's too early right now for anybody, right, for the formulation of what is going to happen. I think it's just a little bit early. I mean, we're like a year away from anything really happening. But at the same time, I think we all know what the Democratic ideology is. We know some of the pieces that they're going to be running on as they go forward, yet we also don't know who is going to be that shining star out of that group that's going to galvanize the Democratic
right.
Party and bring a light to people that energizes them enough to say, you know what, you run the risk of another 2016 happening if you don't go to vote. So, and that's what I think most of that message is going to be. Even if you don't like who is running, you still got to get up and vote. Because not voting is the complete, you're going to get the same result that a lot of people thought they did not want
and
when
you know, for
the 2016 election ran around.
And Sean, let me just say this. For those of you who stay at home, who sit your butts at home and say, well, I ain't voting for this, I ain't voting for that, if things go wrong in an election, my suggestion to those who did not vote, who are complaining, who are this, who are that, who's saying, oh, we're going to run a demonstration, who are going to write these stupid blogs, talk about, well, yeah, don't vote. My suggestion is two words. I have two words for those people. Shut up.
Okay, well.
Your voice, you know, shut up. Just don't say nothing.
Well, there's another topic I want to go since we've talked about
Trump.
Let's go
to the next one.
Michael Jackson is in the news again. And Sean and I were talking about this earlier. It's like, are you freaking kidding me? Does people have better things to do than bring up the past stuff? It seems like everything's about bringing up the past stuff.
Yeah.
Sean, you go ahead. I have to answer this call right now. You tell the story.
Okay. Well, basically, for those that have, either if you have cable or not, for those that don't understand what's been going on, or maybe you heard in the news over the last couple of days or maybe the last couple of weeks, HBO has been doing a documentary. It's been a two-part documentary on Michael Jackson and two of the alleged people that were abused allegedly by Michael Jackson, and how they have recalled certain events that have happened. And it seems like there is seemingly documented proof. Now, I didn't get a chance to see all of the first part, and I'm going to see the replay of the second part later on tonight. But I, from what I did see from the first episode, which I got a chance to see a little earlier this morning,
mm-hmm.
Oh boy, it's scary. It sounds rather disturbing and disgusting, etc. Now, do I firmly believe that Michael Jackson has done the allegations that are here in this documentary? Like I said, I'm going to reserve judgment until I see the whole thing. But what I did see was one who was, I believe, 7-year-old child dancer who initially won a contest. I believe he's Australian. And he won a dance contest because he wanted to become a dancer, et cetera, et cetera. He
mm-hmm.
met Michael Jackson. He won. He was in. He danced in some videos, I believe, and he became good friends with him as a 7-year-old. And a lot of the alleged abuse happened as he, I guess, he had spent time with him and went to Neverland Ranch and was molested. He said that this happened as a young person, being impressionable, thinking that this was normal. And I think that for the most part, a lot of people realize when you hear some of the things that happen, and in this part of the document, there's a lot of graphic descriptions involved. Masturbation and anal penetration, anything you can think of that is sexually related has been alleged by these two that are in the documentary. Now, I'll ask you, and this is a question that I asked a friend of mine. I'll throw it to you, K-Dog. Now, when we're talking about Michael Jackson, we're talking about an allegation that has been following him since before he died. We know this June it'll be a decade since he's passed.
Mm-hmm.
Are we in the same situation now that we were at with R. Kelly, in the sense that with all of the allegations that are happening and the things that are starting to come up, are we in a position now to say that we're going to stop listening to Michael Jackson's music? Do you think that his legacy is still secured no matter what? Or are you of the ilk that you can separate, which I've heard other people say about R. Kelly, you can kind of separate the music from the person that created it? What do you think?
Well, from what I could say is this, is that Michael Jackson will forever be remembered as an icon. And why I say this is because, you know, this man had set record-breaking concerts, record-breaking record sales and all. People are going to separate the man, is going to separate his life from his music. And believe it or not, his music is still going to be played. No matter what, people are still going to listen to Michael Jackson throughout the whole world. They're not going to stop listening to him. I mean, with R. Kelly, it's different. And plus, as you mentioned, Sean, and we all know, Michael Jackson died in this year will be a decade since he died. So what is there to convict? What is there to hurt? Michael Jackson's legacy is still positive no matter what. And even when he was alive, they still brought those allegations up, but still, he was Michael Jackson, an icon, a well-respected artist.
They're
not going to take anything away. Go ahead, Sean.
Here's one thing, and this was, as I said, I had a conversation with a friend of mine about this literally about three or four hours ago,
mm-hmm.
and making the equation to R. Kelly and the allegations that have been dogging him and the documentary that came out. And now we have this two-piece documentary. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe Oprah Winfrey did an interview with the two alleged victims in like a sit-down interview that she did with them herself. So as I said, I will reserve full judgment until I see the entire documentary. But on this part, this is the explanation that I think is maybe the difference. When we talk about R. Kelly and we talk about what's been going on in his world, which is nothing but seemingly sexually explicit, sexually charged, living through the sexual prism that he seems to present his music through. That a lot of people are trying to connect the dots and figure that a lot of the songs that he has made may be born from his experiences with alleged underage girls and all of the other things that have been basically dogging him. The music that Michael Jackson has been bringing out has seemingly nothing to do with a lot of sexually charged anything along lines, which a lot of people are wondering if that's really the case. Now, you can, in some instances, probably equate their background as far as where they get their music from, what is kind of like what inspires us, the performer, to either dance or sing or have a genre of music that touches them is usually based on personal experiences. Now, if I'm to believe the allegations on one hand, that Michael Jackson is a pedophile or if Michael Jackson allegedly has molested anybody, it'll be very, very difficult for me to listen to any music that he's done. At the same time, it's so indoctrinated into the lexicon of music from, we're not just talking about the 90s or the 80s.
We're going back into
the 70s and in the
60s. Sorry, Sean Black. You're taking too long. I'll give it to Brother B now. I'm sorry, Sean. You can't get to the point, so I'll give it to Brother B. Talk too much.
Hey, Brother B.
Before we do the timing of the show, go ahead, Brother B.
Greetings and salutations, everyone.
Yeah,
hey, what's up, brother?
I'm all right. All I can say is I think it's just a bunch of, well, first of all, F. R. Kelly.
Right.
But this thing with Michael Jackson, I think, is a load of crap. He's dead. He can't defend himself. You know what I have a problem with, and I'm just going to come out and say it. These Neanderthals always want to take a dead black person and vilify them, and they can't defend themselves. I mean, Trayvon Martin was dead, and yet they wanted to talk crap about him, smoking weed, cutting school, this, all this, and that.
Yeah.
He wasn't here to defend himself. Michael Jackson has been dead, as you guys said. This year it will make 10 years. So wait a minute. Was he a pedophile before or after he started talking shit about Sony? You know what I'm saying? It's like, come on now. Just stop it.
I think that's the point I was waiting for. Sony. So all of a sudden, does that sound like a Bill Cosby NBC situation? Trying to store someone's legacy.
So
well, go ahead.
Exactly.
I believe he owns the Beatles rights.
He owns their catalog, and
Paul McCartney was mad about that because I remember reading the interview where Paul McCartney felt Michael Jackson duped him on the deal. He got mad about that. So once again, was he a pedophile before or after? He turned his back on Sony and started talking about them. My whole thing is, once again, the man is dead.
What more can you say? What more can you say? What could he say to defend himself? And this is
he's not here.
And
these Neanderthals, always wait. They always do this. This is their thing. They always turn around and they want to try and vilify somebody of color or just somebody. Because look, nobody's vilifying anybody. I hate to throw color in it and stuff like that, but I gotta call a spade a spade. And right now, like I said, it just doesn't even look right.
To add up to you guys' argument, especially Sean Black, okay, Michael Jackson. What about Elvis Presley? Like, he didn't do anything wrong. He married a child, right? Lisa Marie, I believe, when she was like a teenager.
No, Priscilla,
no one did not say anything about that, right? No one
of course
everybody keep quiet about that, right?
She was 14 when he first got with him.
And there was a video. There was a video that Hot Rod showed me earlier today, and this is obviously is from years and years and years ago. And I believe that maybe it was at a signing or some sort of no, it was at the National Action Network for I think Al Sharpton, I believe. And Michael Jackson was there talking to a group of people, and he was bringing up some of those same things about Sony. The Beatles collection, how a lot of white singers had black ghostwriters writing songs for them that never got any attention that was brought up. And then you would notice that a lot of those white singers are on the covers of albums, but those black singers that make them, their faces aren't even shown. And this is something that Michael Jackson talked about. And openly amongst a lot of people.
Yeah, Elvis Presley
was absolutely true.
Why do you think Elvis Presley sounded so good back then? Because of a black writer.
Because the because you know what? He took the black songs and made it his own. I mean, come on now. Look, black artists were being cheated on. They were being cheated. They got cheated. And a lot of black artists later on spoke up against that and said like this, wait a minute. We're the ones who wrote the songs, and we're not getting paid for it. There was and also there was something else too. There was something called cover records that they used to do back then in the 50s because since radio stations were segregated, they would not play a song by a black artist. So they would take the most popular white artist and have them record the song, and meanwhile, the white artist would get credit and the black artist wouldn't get anything.
They still do that today. Come on, let's be real.
It's still going
on. That's still happening today.
Yeah, but once again, why are you attacking a dead man? So how is HBO going to come out with a documentary about Michael Jackson and he's not even like my thing is this?
It's a 10-year anniversary of his death. It's a
way to
make money.
How do we know that the information is not being fabricated? How do we know?
Well, that's what I told Ashawn earlier. I'm like, wait a minute. How are people coming up with all this right now about it? What happened before or during? Or maybe a year after? 10 years after? Or are we getting all the details right now? Or what's happening?
The one thing that we have to think about right now is, first of all, HBO was sued initially by the Jackson estate. And for whatever reason, the injunction was dropped. And usually that happens because of slander or a libelous claim that they think is wrong. Now, obviously, the court saw otherwise, and the lawsuit was, I believe, dropped. Now, if we're looking into it from this standpoint, if we know that there are two victims involved in any of this, because we've talked about Michael Jackson in the past as far as the claims that he's had against him. If this is indeed true, irregardless of timing or not, the one thing you got to think about are the actual victims themselves, because it's very hard for me to think, although we know that we've seen a lot of really evil things on this planet, that anybody would want to go ahead and attach their names to being molested by somebody.
Their
head the rest of their lives.
Listen, you know what? I'm sorry. These Neanderthals, some of them would do anything for a payday. Some people would just do anything for a payday. And my whole thing is this. It's a foolproof plan because, once again, Michael Jackson is not here to defend themselves. You give somebody a couple million dollars and say, hey, I just want you to say that Michael Jackson raped you and this, that, and the third. You think any chick still ain't gonna give them ass? Or if they gay, you think any dude still ain't gonna blow their back out? It's gonna be the same thing. It doesn't matter because the money rules.
I have to give it to Lady T to see what's her intake about this. I have one more topic. Go ahead, Lady T.
Hey, y'all, go ahead, because I don't even know what the conversation was. Hi, y'all.
Well, we're talking about Michael Jackson, the whole Michael Jackson documentary that just came out.
Because you know what my thing is? All right, so everybody want to talk about the victim, the victims. I don't know if they were victims. I know one thing, and I hate to keep going back to it, but a lot, like Trayvon Martin was a victim, but then the media, the press, and everybody else want to choose, treat Zimmerman like he was the victim. See, there's always other narrative. Everybody want to twist, they want to twist it around. And like I said, I didn't know Michael Jackson personally. You know what I'm saying? I love his music. I'll always love his body of work and all this. And I will always enjoy Michael Jackson. And I'm not going to let anybody try to ruin that for me because they want to say or allege, oh, he raped kids. So if he raped kids or he molested children, why didn't you guys go get him?
Mm-hmm. And then I'll ask the same question that I asked K-Dog. We made that same equation with, that's with Michael Jackson, with R. Kelly. Does that make this, can you make that same thought process and say,
but,
well, I can separate
no, but
what
Sean,
he did?
It's different because with Michael Jackson is all stories compared to R. Kelly. It's a tape that we actually saw. That's the difference, I believe.
Yeah, he's on tape.
And that's why
he's on tape doing the dirty deed.
There's evidence out there. With Michael Jackson, it's a story. We believe something happened. But when do we ever know the whole story? Maybe not. Maybe yes, maybe no. We don't know. There's a difference between a story and actually seeing with your two own eyes and throwing up when you saw the R. Kelly video.
Well, there is proof. Like I said earlier, I saw at least about maybe 15 or 20 minutes of the documentary. I reserve any opinions fully until I see the documentary to see how it is. But what I did see, as I said before, there is some evidence that's there, not necessarily the actual act that's being alleged, but there are videos, there are faxes between one of the alleged victims and Michael Jackson.
Was there any text messaging going on that we have proof?
There wasn't any text messaging back then.
Okay.
Remember,
then,
this boy was 7 years old at the time. And
well,
this
like
is
I
not
said,
something
we,
that happened
you
five
may know
years
something,
ago.
But not everything. You may know something.
Like I said before, for me to fully get something, I have to see the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Come back to me next week, I'll see what it is with that.
When you do see the whole thing, I guarantee I'll give you the whole show so you can talk to yourself about it on the air, okay? But I don't want to listen to it. All right? But I just want to bring this last topic out because we have 10 minutes left. Of course, since we talk about kids and internet, pedophiles, and crazy stuff, there's a new challenge going on out there on the YouTube channel on the internet. It's called the Momo Challenge, which I brought up to everyone. Basically, parents, this is for the parents out there who love to give their kids, I'm not going to lie, I'm one of them, the tablet, so they're going to have their 10 minutes of peace. You always have to monitor of what your kids are watching because this thing called a Momo Challenge is a clip of, I guess, a woman or imagine a picture of Sean Black while the kids are watching Peppa Pig or other cartoon shows. A picture
mm-hmm.
of Sean Black will pop up and says, "Hi, Momo, I'm going to kill you. Don't tell anybody. Don't tell your parents. Go kill yourself. Go slit your wrist." Basically telling the kids to go kill themselves.
Damn.
Now, as a parent, that's terrifying to hear. And most people say it was a hoax and everything. I did some research. It was not a hoax. So, Tisha, as a parent, what came to your mind when you heard about this Momo Challenge?
It's not a hoax. And then you always have to monitor what's on your child's tablet, period. And block certain things, period. So...
But why do you think someone will be sick enough, or the people will be sick enough, will come up with something? I'm not gonna something stupid.
Same
like
reason
that.
They come up with other stupidness just to get attention. Kids, people will actually follow this stuff and actually do it, and that's the scary part about it.
Brother B,
listen, a lot of this crazy shit wasn't happening when Obama was in office. So we need to bring Obama. This is too much. It's like the lock is off the cage, and everybody, like, everybody bowing out. R. Kelly pissing no more kids. Michael Jackson's a pedophile again 10 years after his death. You know what I'm saying? White people is just calling cops if you barbecuing or walking your dog or something. Like, it's crazy right now.
Yeah,
I'm afraid to go outside and get a bag of chips. Somebody might call the cops on me talking about you praying too loud. Yo, it's wild, son. Like, I don't know what to say.
No.
That whole thing, yo, listen, who co-signs this? Like, yo, maybe somebody needs to really just say, all right, YouTube or wherever's popping up on, listen, if you guys can't control your stuff, then you need to be shut down. But somebody is letting this go. Yo, people are sick.
Mm-hmm.
Society
exactly.
is just that sick to allow for children to see. I'm like, yo, back in the days, of course, we had a white man flipping a shoe talking to puppets. Now you got things like this popping up on TV telling you to kill yourself or go stab your mother with a fork or whatever. Like,
oh,
yo, what the hell is going on, man? And
people
don't
gone crazy.
What's wrong with you, Brother B? I'm dying over here. What's wrong with you, man? I'm crying.
Yo, I'm saying.
I'm crying over here.
This is, you know, this is out of control. This is, I don't really know what to say no more sometimes because this is crazy.
Yeah, people gone
you,
crazy.
You blame
man.
Trump. Bottom line, you blaming Trump for this. Now Obama.
Listen, to be
Trump.
Honest with you, was it happening? Did you have wild stuff? But listen, who was calling cops? Listen, I saw one video where the dude was getting the cop, black man was getting the cops called on him because his dog started humping somebody else's dog.
Yes.
Yo,
yeah,
I
saw that.
Talk about
that
last week.
Really? Listen, this wasn't happening
really?
With Obama. Now, they may have started stirring the pot when Obama was in office and getting mad, but yo, now that this dude's in office, oh, forget about it.
Oh, man, the media whore. He's a media whore, man. Don't forget that.
All right. Sean Black, your thoughts are on the Momo?
It reminds me a lot of the Slender Man nonsense that went on years ago. But that was created by, I think it was a couple of teenagers that went and ended up stabbing somebody, I forgot how many times, in the woods somewhere.
Yeah.
What we seem to have happen are, for whatever the case is, especially when we're talking about social media or, you know, YouTube or whatever thing we're talking about, we've gone back to what we've said about parents having to be parents. As far as, like, we talk about the Michael Jackson thing. Irregardless of whether it has happened or not, a lot of people are going to look that the blame should be put on the parents of the alleged victims. In this instance, it's got to be on the parents as far as a lot of the things that have happening when we hear about this Momo challenge or whatever nonsense. And I'm sick and tired of somebody putting challenge in front of everything because it's something online anyway. But basically, if you're going to sit your child or children in front of a tablet, in front of a television, a smart TV, or any internet-connected device, and you're going to let them sit and watch hours upon hours of this stuff unchecked, and then wonder why your child is whining and gyrating on top of a table, throwing their underwear at somebody, doing a floss dance while cursing someone out, and you're wondering where it's coming from?
Wow, Sean Black.
That's what is going
man.
On. And the reason why that is, we have way too many people that will decide it's easier for me to put my child in front of a television or in front of their tablet and let them sit there for 3 hours while mom goes to sleep or she goes to the store or whatever is the case. And then when these things happen, wonder what happened here. I don't understand. Why did it happen? This is why. At least one of the reasons.
But real quick, the whole thing is, we used to sit in front of the TV, but the programming was different. Like,
different.
The A-Team. Yo,
exactly.
Yo,
I was thinking
a
about
million,
that.
Everybody
Night
was shooting. Everybody
Night
was
Rider.
Shooting. Nobody got shot.
I will give you something else to add to that. You said that the programming was different when we would sit down in front of the TV, but you want to know what happened? My mother and my grandmother and my uncle watched what I watched also.
Exactly.
They sat and
watched exactly.
What I
because
watched
I couldn't
together.
Even
yeah.
I couldn't even watch Married with Children. I remember my parents like, nope, you can't watch
that
with certain things
really
Al Bundy would say.
For young
and I'm like, yo, but come on.
That's my
show. I still
it wasn't meant for young kids. But however, back then, you know, you had much more respect because, you know, your parents were right in the room with you when you're watching, whether you're watching 18, Knight Rider, or even Miami Vice.
Plus, when they told you no, no mean no, guys. Back then, when your parents told you no, you didn't challenge it though. So that's another thing.
Teacher, you can't do that no more because if you say no, ACS or other agencies will be on your case.
Exactly,
people,
and that's another thing.
They get involved in parenting.
And you know whose fault is that? That's our fault. All of those that are parents. Our fault, because we're not saying F you to the system. You're trying to tell us that we can't discipline our children. Abuse is one thing. Get on your job and take care of the abuse while we try to discipline our children, because they're going out there and everything is wild now.
But you know something, ACS is about money making now also. It's not about protecting kids. It's a money making industry.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? And these people are employed to get these cases now, where before ACS used to save the kids that needed to really be saved. It's not like that anymore.
But all the things, to Brother B's point, I'm like, I will yell at my kid, and people come up to me like, don't yell at your kid that way. I'm like, hold on. Number one, you don't tell me what how to handle my kid's business. If it was one thing, I throw him across the room. Of course, I should not do that, even though I want to do it half the time. But if I'm yelling at my kid, I'm putting my foot down, because as a parent, I understand spoiling your kid so that, you know, you want to get them with all the stuff that you don't have. But letting them get away with murderer and throw big tantrum, that's a big no-no in my book. And we see that
because
more and more times every day.
Listen, there's no one on this phone right now that hasn't felt. Remember the belts, the leather belts were thick.
Oh, hell yeah.
Back then.
Oh, yeah.
There's no one on this phone right now that hasn't felt the sting of the leather belt.
Listen, I got my spanking and my only spanking from calling up the operator and asking her for Michael Jackson's number. She told me no. I cursed her out, not knowing that the operator can call your house back. The operator called my house back. Boy, did I whip my butt. Listen.
If we do all that right now,
we're all here.
You're in big trouble.
We're all here. We're not criminals or deviants from the law or whatever like that. I mean, the whole thing involved.
I don't know
down
about
to,
that.
No, but we knew
for the most part, we're all
we knew not
citizens,
to cross that
for
line.
For the most part.
Yeah, exactly.
But
we were talking
was
respect,
a line in the sand that was
you.
Drawn. There was a line in the sand that was drawn, and we knew not to cross it.
Yeah.
And hopefully, as us parents and uncles and everything, we bring our knowledge to these kids today, and I'm sure I can speak for all of us.
Yes.
We try to do that knowledge, but it seems like it's more of a challenge now than it was back then. Well,
is
that challenge credit overall?
Exactly.
A challenge, but this is a real challenge, and I know I can speak for all of us. We're not giving up on this type of challenge of raising our kids right.
Sean Black, I know you don't like it, but maybe you should shut off the parent challenge. Like I challenge you guys to be parents. Don't do
that. Yeah. But before we go, I just want to add this note. Last night, I was listening to The Menu and Brother B, Lady T, Big Red, and K-Dog. And y'all guys had a good show last night. But I love Lady T. I love Big Red. I treat them like sisters. But after last night's conversation, I can never look at them the same way again. I'm the same.
Aww,
person,
come
you know.
On.
I'm going to have to listen to this episode now.
I thought you were going to say after last night you took a list of what you needed to go online and start ordering.
No,
after
last night, I learned so many things I never learned sex ed before in my life. That's all I'm saying, you know.
all I can say is I will never look at baloney the same.
Man, I can't even look at sandwiches the same.
And I'm like, Dad, after last night's conversation, I'm like, yo, Lady P and Big Red, they need to go to church with me on Sunday.
Damn.
That's for sure. You know,
what about the children?
Meet Jesus.
Oh, you guys need to stop.
That's why I couldn't do the show last night. No, that's why I couldn't do the show last night because my kids were sitting up, you know. But guys, Lady P, Big Red, look at me again.
Don't touch the bologna.
No.
Don't touch the sandwiches.
Don't touch the sandwiches. Lady T, Brother B, guys. Thank you so much for a good show last night. I mean, tonight. I can't even speak right now.
Oh,
but
damn.
See, you still think about last night's show. You guys love that show. We talk
maybe I should
do
that for you.
Now, that show is cool.
Yeah. Maybe next week we talk about
too raunchy.
I don't know. Who
too
knows?
Too raunchy for my blood. Too raunchy.
Good night, guys. Take care.
Good night,
y'all.
Pleasure was all yours.
Good night, y'all.
Pleasure was all yours.
Take care.